On this week's edition of Cross Examine, we will be talking about Donald Trump's victory in the Republican primary in New Hampshire. And is that an actual reflection how the votes will turn out in the national elections? As well as we will be talking about the asylum seekers in Europe, how those are all just fake. Stay tuned to Cross Examine. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Cross Examine. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb, and we welcome you just another show. We will be talking about several major items, I think, that we all need to be aware of and pay particular attention to. The first discussion I want to talk about is the New Hampshire win for Donald Trump. And as you are well aware, Donald Trump clinched the New Hampshire Republican primary. Once again, really just bringing out a large number of former non-voters. And unfortunately, a breakdown of that does not really look well for the Republican presidential election in November. And some of you may be saying, well, why do you say that? He won the New Hampshire primary. He looks like he is going to win most of the other Republican primaries throughout the United States. And because of that, then he's easily going to win the Electoral College in November and become the next president. But is that actually going to occur? Is Donald Trump, even though he has a lot of success behind him, even though he has a lot of the white votes out there in becoming out to vote for Donald Trump, is that going to turn out to be enough to win the actual presidential election in November? Now, I will just give you some statistics here just for everyone to ponder. According to the official figures, it was just 89% of the votes cast, some 258,479 registered Republicans came out to vote in the 2016 primary. And again, we're talking about New Hampshire here. And in which 9 of the so-called Republican candidates, of course, took part of it. Now, this figure is probably going to climb to well over 260,000 by the time the full results are in. Now, in 2012, there was a record of 33 would-be Republican candidates taking part in the New Hampshire primary. And there was 243,000 Republicans that turned out to vote on that day. Now, this means that there's at least an extra 20,000 voters that turned out in the 2016 for a considerably smaller field. And the results indicate that most of them voted for Trump, and along with what I would call a sizable part of the traditional Republican voters. So many would think, okay, 20,000 more voters came out to vote for Donald Trump in 2016 and 2012. And some would look at that and say, now that shows that Donald Trump will probably be the next president. And Trump's victory, of course, is predicted on many of the polls that with the 227,543 that also turned out to vote in the Democratic primary. So what we have to look at is there was 243,000 voters that voted for Donald Trump, and then there was 227,543 that came out to vote for the Democratic primaries. And of course, remember, the same occurred at the same time. So we had Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton that was happening in the same time as Republican primaries. So So the thing is, we have 227,543 voters that turned out to vote out in the Democratic primaries. And of those voters, the victory was clearly with Bernie Sanders, who also happens to be a Jew. And those figures are going to increase when the final results are in. So if you look at the combined figures of the Republican and Democratic turnout in New Hampshire, there's an excess of 500,000 individuals, voters, that came out to vote. And there's only statistically 800,000 registered voters in the total state of New Hampshire alone. So of the 800,000 voters in New Hampshire, over 500,000 voters came out. That's a huge percentage. Now, so in other words, New Hampshire primaries can be, I would say, could be taken as a fairly accurate prediction on how that state will break down in the actual presidential election. And so should Trump win the Republican nomination, it means that Trump will win the state and its electoral college by a vote of about 53 to 47%, and that's a pretty accurate figure if you, once you break it down. Now, this 53% vote is of significance because when you bore in mind that New Hampshire is about 93% white, so here's a state that's 93% white. 53% of those voters are voting for Donald Trump, and the rest are voting for Bernie Sanders if he's the Democratic nomination, or it could be Hillary Clinton. It just really doesn't matter, but we're looking at the figures here. Now, the reason this is significant is that Trump ultimately is not going to have the 65% plus national white support he needs to decisively clinch a national election. Now, many people out there are just saying, well, what are you talking about? Why are you talking about race? What does race have anything to do with it? My friends, race has everything to do with it. If we are looking at the politics is really war that is fought during time of peace. And we are looking where races, whites, blacks, Mexicans, Jews, Mexicans, Muslims, it doesn't matter, Arabs, I should say, they are going to vote according to their racial lines. And in the United States, we are seeing a significantly decrease of a white population and a significantly increase of your non-white population. So if you are wanting to look at a traditional so-called conservative person, a white person, to win a national election such as the president, then you have to look at who's going to be voting for that person. And then you have to start breaking it down. And in order to have Donald Trump actually win the president of the United States, the presidential nomination, he has to win about that figure, like I had told you, about 65% of the national white votes in order to clinch the presidency. That is a huge figure, a percentage for him to reach. Now, even though Trump is basically running, you know, on a non-racially based campaign, he is still perceived by your Mexican votes. He's still perceived by your black voters. He is still perceived by your Jewish voters, and basically all your other non-white voters as the white candidate. And so they look at him as your typical white person who wants to continue America to be a white country, a white nation, who wants to enforce the immigration laws, who wants to keep America traditionally white. And so that is what they are looking at Donald Trump as. So are these non-white voters statistically, as a percentage-wise, going to vote for Donald Trump? Of course not. They are not going to do that. And because you have Donald Trump, who has accurately stated about the criminal Mexicans coming in our southern borders, talked about how illegal immigration is destroying America, how it's changing the racial makeup in the United States. He has talked about we need to have a moratorium of allowing the Muslims coming into the United States, being stricter on immigration laws. All of these are buzzwords or code words for saying we do not want the United States to change racially. We want America to be racially a white country, a reflection of a white European country. And these non-whites know that. And so when they look at Donald Trump, they look at him as the enemy, someone who is going to try to prevent that. And so we have to start looking at the racial makeup of these different states. And then we have to look at the racial makeup combined total of the whole United States, how they are going to vote. And so when we look at the final election in November, we look at the states, the huge states, on your western and your eastern states like California or Texas, they are going to vote Democratic. They are going to vote for your non-white candidate. And really the Democratic Party is really the non-white party. Their programs, their leaders, their elected leaders, those that are in powers in the Democratic Party are all non-white, anti-white, I should say, voters. They do not want and favor your whites. They are not looking out for your traditional America. They're wanting a progressive America. They want America to change. They want America to be resembling a country of a third world country. They want, fundamentally, they want America to change. And so the Democrat Party really is the anti-white party. And folks out there listening, you have to remember that. And the Republican Party right now, there's a fight for really the soul of the Republican Party. Now, the Republican Party, I don't really care if it continues to exist or not. They don't represent the traditional America anymore. But the Republican Party, there's a battle going on. And you have those such as Donald Trump, who wants to keep the Republican Party as a party for basically white voters, for those that stands on traditional America, a Christian America, America that reflects, you know, the Europeans that founded the United States. And then you have those in the Republican Party that wants to change the Republican Party into a Democratic Party. They want it to resemble the Democrats. And they want to allow non-whites and Mexicans and blacks and homosexuals to come into the Republican Party and fundamentally change it. Because in their opinion, if they don't change, they will be out. And it's basically a gang war. You have the Republicans who are like the Crips, and you have the Democrats like the Bloods. And they're fighting over their turf. They're fighting over their jurisdictions, their boundaries. And so you have this fight, this internal fight within the Republican Party. And the people that are being the losers ultimately are your white people, the white families, your white children. They are the losers here. And so getting back to Donald Trump, he is known and perceived as a white candidate. And some of you out there may say, well, we don't need 65% of the vote of the white voters to win the election. We can win with the lower vote. But case in point, let's look back at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney won 59% of the white vote in 2012. Just 59% of the white vote. And he still did not win enough states to secure the presidential election. He basically, again, was considered the white candidate. And again, 59% of the vote, of the white votes. But because of the overwhelmingly large, and we're not talking about overwhelmingly large, I'm talking above 80%, 75 to 80% of your Mexican votes voted for Barack Obama. You had almost 95% of your black votes voted for Barack Obama. Your Jewish vote was up in the 80%. Arab votes were significantly higher, 70-80%. Your Chinese and Asian population voted for Barack Obama. So basically, we saw a race war in the voting booth. A race war when whites, majority of the whites, 59%, voted for Mitt Romney in 2012. And a huge 70-80% of your non-white votes voted for Barack Obama. And when you start adding up all these non-white voters against the white voters, then you will not have a white, traditional white candidate, or a perceived white candidate winning the election in November of this year. It's just plain statistics. We as a people, we as white voters, are being voted out of our own country. And listeners out there, you need to start thinking about this. You need to start realizing that we are being voted out. And the reason we're being voted out is because we are allowing non-whites coming to our country. Now, this has nothing to do about hatred. It has nothing to do to say, oh, all the non-whites out there are evil and bad. It simply is that a country is only going to exist and carry on by the racial makeup of its country. Look at Japan. Look at Russia. Look at all of these countries that are preventing non-Japanese from coming into the country, or Russians, where they're traditionally not allowing non-whites coming to their country. They are securing their country that's best suited for their people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Israel, in fact, does not allow non-Israelites, non-Israelis, from coming into their country. So you have this little country of Israel that really is not the same people as in the Bible, the covenant. They're a false people, but that's for another subject. But they are not allowing non-Israels coming into their country. Russia and Japan, all these countries are not allowing those that are going to drastically shift and change the racial makeup of their country. So why is it wrong when the United States, when the white people of the United States, those that founded our country and wanted to pass on a Christian country, a Christian society, why is it now evil and racist for when white people say, hey, we want to secure the United States as a white country. We want to continue on as a white country. We want to reflect like a European country. Why is that so evil and bad? Because it's an attack against white people. There is a systematic stance with those and the elite, those that want to racially change the makeup of the United States. And when we break that down to our voters here, every 4 years of the presidential election, we can see how it is changing. So Donald Trump, he's going to have to win 65% of the white votes to secure that election. And let's say he does. Let's say he does that in 2016. 4 years from now, when there is even more of a non-white population in the United States, he's going to have to win more than just 65%. He's going to have to win almost 70% of the white votes. So we are seeing a race war in the United States, a race war when white people are having to fight to secure their homeland against the non-whites, because the non-whites that are coming in want to change the racial makeup. They want to change the culture. They want to change the heritage of the United States. And ultimately, what are we going to do? What are we going to see? And so the presidential election is going to be very interesting to see how it's going to break down. But I believe that I'm right. I believe that if you look at the voters that turned out for Mitt Romney in 2012, 59% of the white votes, and he still did not secure the election. And now we have to see 65% of the white votes turning out for Donald Trump. Is that going to secure his victory in 2016? I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the so-called asylum seekers in Europe and basically how it is all fake. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Look around the world. Do you notice anything? White people are a global minority. Soon, white people will be the minority in historically white nations. Is it a coincidence, or is there white genocide in our future? What about your children or your grandchildren? Is this the end? Is this our fate? Think about it. This message brought to you by Christian Revival Classics and the Christian Revival Center.
The United States government is bringing hundreds of thousands of non-white political dissidents into America, and the consequence is anything but cheerful. How will these new so-called Americans change our Constitution, and what are the repercussions? Listen each week to attorney Jason Robb on Cross-Examine, because you have the right to review the evidence. Colonial America was so influenced by the Bible and its precepts that colonial America has been referred to as a Bible Commonwealth. This is especially revealed by the biblical laws and principles used in colonial government, including those against race mixing and homosexuality. America truly is a nation founded on biblical precepts.
Does your church teach racial diversity? Has your pastor caved to political correctness? Does it seem like nobody stands up and speaks the truth anymore? Well, our church does. Come join us every Sunday morning, live at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, for a live streaming video broadcast of real old-time Christian teaching from the Christian Revival Center. It's on SOTCTV.com, and it's on fire.
Well, welcome back to Cross Examine. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb. We welcome you back to our show. We've been talking about the presidential election and how Donald Trump won the Republican primary in the state of New Hampshire. But ultimately, is that going to mean he will be victorious in the national election in November of 2016 when everyone gets to vote between Donald Trump, if he happens to be the Republican nominee against the Democratic, and how really we just reduced it down to numbers, and how he has to win really 65% of the white votes, and the white votes basically to secure the nomination. So Donald Trump is going to have a uphill battle. I want to talk real briefly about the asylum seekers in Europe. We hear about how all these thousands and hundred thousands of Syrians are pouring into Europe and seeking asylum. But unfortunately, they do not qualify as asylum seekers in Europe. There was a recent admission by the European Union executive body that 40% of the so-called refugees who invaded Europe last year have no chance of actually qualifying for asylum. Because they have ignored the European Union's own rules, which clearly states that none of them have any right to asylum at all. Now, this was reported in the Frankfurter Allgemeine Sonntagszeitung. It's a German newspaper, and obviously I don't speak German, but a senior European Commission official admitted that 40% of the migrants who recently entered by the Balkans route have no realistic prospect of asylum or refugee status in the European Union. Now, this is dramatic, and of course it implies that, well, then 60% of the invaders have a valid claim to asylum in Europe. And so that's what some would say. But in fact, all of them, 100% of them, have broken the EU's own rules governing refugees, which specifically incorporates the legal principle known as the first country of asylum. And it's a rule which says that refugees do not have the right to apply for asylum from a country in which they are already safe. So contrary to liberal claims that there's no legal basis for the principle of first country of asylum, this concept is in fact written in the EU use own rules, specifically the Asylum Procedures Directive, Directive of 2005, December 1st of 2005, and under Articles 26 of this Asylum Procedures Directive, it reads as follows. The concept of first country of asylum. A country can be considered to be a first country of asylum for a particular applicant for asylum if A, he or she has been recognized in that country as a refugee and she can still avail him or herself of that protection, or B, he or she otherwise enjoys a sufficient protection in that country, including benefiting from the principle of non-refoulement. Now, provided that he or she will be readmitted to that country. Now, so in other words, a refugee coming from a country in which they have already been granted refugee and where they are not threatened with expulsion back to their country of origin falls under Article 26 of the EU's Asylum Procedure Directive. Now, non-refoulement, you've heard me say that already, non-refoulement is a legal term for the principle in international law which forbids the rendering of a true victim of persecution to his or her persecutor. This Article 26 has also been written into all EU member state legislation in one form or another. And specifically in Germany, it states it has been incorporated into law under Article 29 of that country's Asylum Procedure Act, paragraph 27, which reads as follows. A foreigner who has already saved from political persecution in another third country shall not be granted asylum status. Do you hear that word? Shall not be granted asylum status. Two, if the foreigner holds a travel document issued by a safe third country or by another third country pursuant to the convention related to the status of refugees, it shall be presumed that he was safe from political persecution in that country. And so, in other words, every single refugee, even those fleeing from Syria, who has entered Europe by the Balkans, route from Turkey, has left that country, Turkey, has already been granted them asylum and safety. And as such, the European Union and German law specifically forbids them from granting or qualifying for asylum in Europe. These same rules apply to all these non-white invaders who have crossed the Mediterranean Sea to Italy and Spain. They have all left their safe countries and where there's no danger of being deported back, even if they had come from a war zone, which most of them have not. And I think we need to understand that vast majority of these so-called Syrians have not left any war zone. They just haven't done it. And so because of that, they would not even qualify from that alone. But when they are going to Europe and they have gone to another country, and that country says that you can be here, we're protecting you for a while, they cannot continue to go into another country. They do not qualify. The European Union's laws are very clear and explicit. There are no legal asylum seekers in all of Europe. Every last one of them has broken international and European law. So these actions of the German Merkel regime and all other European governments, which have been opened Europe doors to these evasions, have placed them clearly outside and above the law. All these governments are basically acting illegally, and they're breaking the law. They have now set the standard which can never be combated. They're setting a standard in which they're clearly violating their own law. They're violating the laws of the European Union because they're allowing all of these hundreds of thousands of non-white invaders into their country. And these invaders that are coming in have been from another country that have protected them. So once, in a nutshell, when a person, so-called refugee has entered another country, and that country says, we are going to protect you in the meantime until you can go back. Those people can't just continue to say, hey, I want to go into Europe now. I want to go into Germany. I want to go into Italy. I want to go into some other European country. They can't do it. They cannot then qualify as asylum seekers because they have left a protected country. And so that is something that is very, very interesting, one that everyone needs to be aware of. And we can see that here in the United States. When these people are coming into the United States, these so-called asylum seekers, they've already left a country that has given them protection, so they do not qualify even here in the United States. Well, my friends, that is something I just want to give you food for thought. Again, interesting election process that we are seeing. Remember, be vigilante out there, vigilant in securing your people, securing your country. Be involved in politics. Your children will suffer from it if you do not get involved and try to secure a homeland for them, a country for them, that you can provide and pass down a culture and a heritage for them. It's vitally, vitally important. Well, my friends, that's all I have. And remember, you have the right to exist.